Howdy, friends, and welcome into Gridiron Frogs Podcast as a part of TCU Horned Frogs on SI. I'm your host, Just Nolan, because you can't handle the Ruth. I'm a Fort Worth area native with very interesting and peculiar ties to TCU. I'm joined by my partner in crime, JD Andrus, the voice of Killer Frogs, and special guest making her second appearance this season, Tori Couch. Hi, Tori, how are
Hi,
you?
I'm good. Excited to be here and talk TCU OSU.
Are you really excited, Tori? Let's be honest. With how the seasons have gone, are you excited?
There was some hesitation when we asked, right? Just this is episode 21 of our show covering TCU football and a smattering of other topics related. It is Wednesday, the 6th of November at the time of this recording. And JD, Tori, are y'all surprised at all by any of the playoff rankings that came out last night?
No.
SMU is too high. I'd like to see
I knew
them
you were
not
going to
in the
say
top
that. I
25.
knew you were going to say that.
Other than that, I think Indiana should be higher, actually. That's probably, I understand why they didn't. Other than that, Nolan, I did have a question for you about the rankings. I didn't see Texas Tech. I just want to make sure my eyes were okay.
Still a crazy season, man. Remember, that was the first playoff ranking. That was just the first one. A lot of football still to be
Texas
played.
Tech has never finished ranked in the college football playoff rankings era,
It's not
but
going to happen.
I
It's not going to
digress.
happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I like to say a lot of things for clicks mainly, but I had to follow my pattern because I still do believe in the Aggies and I still do believe in SMU, and I was trying to follow just the Texas trend of teams that you don't like. And so I went back to my Texas Tech bit. No, honestly, I think BYU is probably going to end up being the conference champion to go back to what we were talking about last week, but or the other day. But that was a different show, and now we've got to preview instead of review because it's a new week, and the Horned Frogs are playing the Oklahoma State Cowboys, who are probably the biggest disappointment in the Big 12 this season. JD, you're thinking about, so yeah, JD was thinking about it for a
I was
second.
gonna say Utah.
Yeah, Utah's
So,
pretty. Yeah, but at least Utah's won a conference game.
yeah, and I think I agree with you. Utah could arguably be more disappointing. I think with Oklahoma State, the reason I would say they're the biggest disappointment is not just that they haven't won a conference game, it's that they returned 20 of 22 starters from a team that made the Big 12 title game last year. You have Ollie Gordon returning. Alan Bowman, say what you want. He has a ton of experience. And they might actually go 0-9. There's a real possibility that they're not going to win a conference game.
Well, I
So.
mean, their biggest issue was that they had Alan Bowman returning and he celebrated his 80th birthday last week. Like,
Okay.
it's one of those things I think. Oklahoma State fans going into the season had a lot of hope. I thought they might take a slight setback, not anywhere near what they've done. But I think Oklahoma State fans were hoping to see Zane Flores, their freshman who's just supposed to be just this phenomenal recruit from Nebraska, and potentially Garrett Rangel, their backup.
You were going to see him.
And so, with Bowman returning, that kind of went the window, but you're like, you have all these other pieces. So there was still a lot of hope, even though, as Shady said, Bowman is ancient in college football land.
Mean, him and Cam Rising watched the first ever college football game 150 years ago together. They were recruits. They were on the sidelines.
JD, this one's more for you because whenever we bring up Oklahoma State, it always seems like we're talking about the offense. But how disappointed should this defense be? The lowest points they've given up since playing Tulsa, which they only gave up 10, is 22 to Utah the very next week. Since then, it's been 42 to K-State, 38 to West Virginia, 38 to BYU, 38 to Baylor, 42 to Arizona State, and TCU could probably put up 35 at least in this game.
Nolan, do you know how many FBS teams there are? 131.
131. 133. 133.
Which you saying 131 makes my next point even funnier. Oklahoma State's total defense per game ranks 132nd. 132nd. They are 132nd in total yards, 132nd in
Who's
rushing
the
yards.
one team that who's the one team they're above?
TCU. I'm just kidding. It could be them.
Wow.
Penn
Yeah.
State.
Yeah. Kent State.
In both.
Which, anyways, I digress. The only thing that they have been relatively in the elite category in regards to defense is their kickoff return defense is really, really good. Only allows 16 yards on average. Other than that, they are in the bottom half of every single statistical category. It's impressive. And I know the offense has been really bad, but much like we talked about Monday with the TCU game against Baylor, is if TCU's defense had just stepped up a little bit, they could have beat Baylor. If Oklahoma State's defense had stepped up a little bit, they could have beat BYU.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that BYU game was right after their bye week, and that was, I think that was their opportunity to win and maybe get on a bit of a streak. That was kind of the tipping point in my eyes because when BYU made that drive there at the end of the game to win, you could just feel kind of the air go out of the season right then. And Garrett Rangel actually started that game. He got injured at the end of the first half, but the offense looked so much better because you had a running mobile quarterback. So yeah, it's been really rough. But yeah, I mean, if the defense could have done anything against BYU, I think this looks a little bit different right now.
I have a question based off what you just said, Tori. You said, about Oklahoma State, they're coming off the bye week, they're putting their marbles on the table, they're doing everything, and then BYU drives the field and you feel the air gets sucked out of the program for that season. The same thing just happened to a TCU team playing their rivals. Is there any concern from either one of you that that happens this season or this weekend? Like, we just see kind of a deflated team. They've lost multiple heartbreakers now. Like, losing one heartbreak is enough to derail a team. Losing multiple heartbreakers is enough to derail a season.
No, I think we are on enough of, I mean, like they've been close and really disappointingly close, but the win over Utah and Texas Tech, it sucks that it was a rival like Baylor, but I think we were on enough of a high to where that was, I don't think that's going to affect us that much. If anything, I think we're going to come out swinging maybe a little bit better this week. As you know, aside, compared to Oklahoma State, who hasn't won since they played Tulsa.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially because TCU at least has had. I don't really think there's been a game where TCU has played complete in all three phases at the same time, but you see it in different games that that's a possibility. Since that Tulsa game, Oklahoma State hasn't really had that. They had one game where Utah game where the defense tried to win it for them and the offense did absolutely nothing. So, and then they've had. BYU was kind of the opposite problem. So it's, you're just not seeing the consistency from Oklahoma State. So I completely agree with Nolan that I think TCU's gonna come out swinging.
It's not more so the fact that I think TCU is just going to roll over, right? Like, it's just like the coaching staff's still searching for answers. And I've written about it last week. I talked about it last week whenever we talked about the Big 12 overall. But you're playing a Mike Gundy with his back against the wall, which is like a ferret. Like, they're going to be swinging, jumping all over the place. You don't know what's going to happen. Like, Mike Gundy is the most unpredictable coach in the country, arguably. That you don't know what you're going to see out of this team. You never know what you're going to see week in, week out. And we've never seen, at least in recent, 5, 10 years, a Mike Gundy team that's performing this below standards. Like, that's my
And
main
you don't
concern.
think he's on the hot seat?
No.
I kind of second that. And here's why. Now, I think the seat is warming up, but here's why I don't think he's necessarily on the hot seat. Number one, if you look at what he's done in, he's been there almost 20 years now as head coach, compared to what the program had accomplished the entire time before he got there, it's insane. He's doubled up everything. So that, but two, really right now, people are mad at the coordinators. Now, I say that knowing Gundy does have some control over who the coordinators are, and he has some control over scheme and things like that, which he called out after the last game. But Brian Nart, not Brian Nart, excuse me, Casey Dunn has been the offensive coordinator there since 2020. And that's when I really started watching Oklahoma State consistently. That offense, there's hardly any creativity. You get creativity after the bye week, and then it's like, oh, we can do all these things. And here we have Ollie Gordon, and we'll use him and do all this stuff. And then the very next week, it's run him up the gut for nothing. They've loaded the box. Well, we'll just keep doing that over and over. So I think fans are really frustrated with Casey Dunn and his play calling. The issue is he's been there almost as long as Gundy and worked his way up from a receivers coach. So Gundy's got that kind of loyalty to him. And then, like we talked about, the defense under Brian Nardo, this is the second year there. It didn't get better. Last year they were in the second half, bottom half of the conference and everything. This year it's even worse. So I think people are really frustrated with the coordinators. And so I think they're waiting to see if Gundy will make a move and let go of them, which it's hard, especially if you've been with one of them for almost your entire career at Oklahoma State.
JD, what would you say you want to see us perform better? Like what, I'm sorry, I phrased that really weirdly. What aspect of the game do you feel like we need to do better in going into this game?
Discipline still. I don't think that there's an issue in play calling. We talked about that. I'm giving my flowers to Kendall Briles. He called a great game last weekend. But I'd like to see a little bit more discipline. There's been multiple times after rewatching the Baylor game, and I've seen it when rewatching multiple games, is that a lot of the offensive line for TCU, they when a blitz pickup is needed to happen, there's like no form of communication. There's just not being disciplined in what their assignments are supposed to be. There's too many penalties still that you're just taking them at really bad times. TCU took a late penalty in the end of the second or end of the first half against Baylor. That was a real bad PI. Like you gotta, if you're not gonna be better than everybody else, you have to play the cleanest. And I think that's something that TCU struggled to do all year, that we've seen them slowly get better. But other than that, it's just you gotta play consistent. Like consistency and discipline is the two biggest things that TCU lacks and has continued to lack. I mean, you take the first half of the Baylor game compared to a second game, it's a completely different team that I don't know what changes. I don't know if we're just getting outcoached at halftime. Sonny Dykes says we're getting outcoached, so maybe that is it, but I digress from that point. I do have a question regarding the defense. Satori, you may be a little bit better versed in this. Like, outside of Tulsa, there's been no good game that they've had. Is it a lack of talent or is it actually scheming and play calling? Like, TCU's is more like execution. Like, the defense has had a few good games, but overall, like, they haven't been great. Is it a lack of execution or is it a lack of scheme and play call?
So I would say it's a little bit of both. So I would say the one game outside of Tulsa where I thought the defense played absolutely incredible, A plus effort, scheme was great, everything was perfect was Utah. And the offense did absolutely nothing to help them. So that one was a tough one to watch. Outside of that though, I think at first it was a little bit of scheme stuff, but you're like, okay, this isn't, there's enough talent out there that they can kind of overcome this. We're giving up a lot between the 20s, but you can stop them before they get to the end zone kind of thing. Now it is execution. The tackling is really bad. I mean, Cam Scataboo ran rampant over them. The Baylor running back did exact same thing. You watch and at the line of scrimmage, a guy might be getting a hand on him, but that's it. There's no tackling, there's no contact at the line of scrimmage. So it's becoming a little bit of both now. And there have been some injuries, especially to Nick Martin and Colin Oliver, kind of they're all Big 12 guys from last year. But even still, that's missing one or two guys is not a reason to just kind of fall apart on that point.
So what would you say is the offensive key for TCU here? Do you think we're going to see A lot more running the ball, probably with Savion.
I would imagine TC would run the ball. I mean, that's what everybody else has been doing lately. What I'm curious to see, and I do like that they've been using Savion more. I think that's opened up the offense a bit and gotten more receivers involved, like y'all have talked about kind of over the last couple episodes. I'm curious though to see if they'll use more of like Cam Cook and Payne and try and get some of those guys going against Oklahoma State in addition to Savion. I'm not sure what they'll do, but I do think running the ball is going to be kind of the way that you get things going.
JD, anything you want to say defensively going into this one? What do we need to change defensively to win this one?
I don't know. You're going to be without two of your better defensive tackles this weekend. I'm not even going to try to pronounce one of them because I still don't know how to say it, and I've tried looking it up six different times, and I don't remember. He got injured against Baylor early in the game, and then Marcus Deal, the brother of Devin Deal, will also be out. He was injured with he got hurt during practice before the Baylor game and will not be able to play this week. So I think you're already pretty limited. We've already known that defensive line is probably the biggest weakness for TCU's defense, and has been all year, all last year, all the year before. That I think that there's enough concern that Ollie Gordon could run rampant this game. Like, he's still Ollie Gordon. Like, Nolan, would you agree that he's still probably the most talented running back in the conference?
Yes, 100%.
And Tori, I see you nodding your head. Like, I assume you agree too. Like, Ollie Gordon is still Ollie Gordon, and TCU has struggled so heavily against the run that that's the only thing that really concerns me. You get in a foot race, we know that TCU can still lose those, and so I think the main thing is you gotta be able to stop the run, and even more than that, if you're gonna give up the run, you gotta get off the field on third down. Same thing they struggled with all year. It's what they succeeded in against Texas Tech. It's what they succeeded against Utah. Anytime they've had success, it's because they've gotten off the field on third down, and you got to be able to do that this weekend.
All right, it's that time. TCU by 10.5. What do y'all got?
I think I'd take the over. It's been really, really hard to watch some of these Oklahoma State games. Doesn't matter who they're playing. It's just been really hard to watch. And teams are just, like you mentioned earlier, just scoring at will on them. And the offense isn't doing anything. Even if they can get Ollie Gordon to go a little bit, Bowman can't do enough. Bowman has not shown consistently that he can do enough to kind of, make you respect the passing game. So I would take the over.
JD.
I'm stewing it over because I'm partially leaning towards not only Oklahoma State covering, but winning. And it's more so because of Ollie Gordon. Like, he's playing at home for the first time since being at Oklahoma State. He's a Fort Worth native, hasn't played here. TCU passed him up and didn't offer him. Like, this has everything for a Ollie Gordon legacy game. We haven't seen that this season. Like, it makes the most sense to me that that's why I want to pull the trigger on it, but I won't do it. I will say TCU wins. I don't think they cover just because TCU's also been very bad against the spread this season. Have a question for you, Nolan.
Okay, before I make my pick, all right, go ahead.
I know it's regarding your pick.
Okay.
Does it matter to you whether a team covers often or not? Because TCU hasn't covered a lot this season.
No, not really. I think that the spread is for betting odds. That doesn't really matter to when a team takes a field. So no, I don't put a lot of stock into whether that matters.
See, I've always wondered because technically that is like the spread is, yeah, it's betting purposes, but it's also. The computer says, and the computers in Vegas are very good. The computer says that you should always be winning by this much based on what the line is, correct? So, like, I was just wondering if you put enough weight into what a team does against the spread because it's technically what their projected success is for that game.
Right, but I don't trust computers at all. I'm very old school media. I like reading the newspaper more than I like going to ESPN.com.
I forgot about that. You're not a numbers guy. You don't get it. We're
I'm not a
different.
number. I'm really not a numbers guy either. But no, when it comes to how it works on the field, there's a lot of human error that you've got to take into account. And the only reason I would think the spread would even matter is if players were letting that crap get to their heads. And if you're doing that, then if they're doing that, then you're doing something wrong as a coach to not let that happen. That's just my opinion. I actually agree with you though, JD. I don't think we're going to cover. I still see a lot of holes with the offense that have me concerned, and I'm not going to say Oklahoma State's going to win this one. I take TCU, but not to cover. Defense, I think, could show up, and he is still Ollie Gordon, but he hasn't been great. And TCU's defense up front has given me a little bit of reason to believe they're getting better. And then just offense, still, I think they just have holes that I'm concerned about. So I'll take TCU, but I don't think they cover. I'll take Oklahoma State to cover. That game is 6 o'clock on Fox Sports 1, the third of a triple header of Big 12 football on Fox Sports 1. The first one, 11 a.m. in Cincinnati, as the Bearcats take on the West Virginia Mountaineers. Bearcats, 4.5.
Oh yeah, they cover and win.
Yeah, you're really high on Cincinnati right now.
I am. With a
I
better.
would take Cincinnati, probably not to cover, but I would take Cincinnati.
I think surprisingly, Neil Brown's the first coach fired from the Big 12 this year. And I also think Cincinnati is the best black and red team in the conference. So, anyways.
Back to back. Wow, that's the first time that's ever happened. I'm with you, JD. I think Cincinnati wins, and I think they cover.
I don't like this. I'm going to change my pick.
I'm not fully I'm not fully bought into the Bearcats hype, but I do think that 4.5 at home for the Bearcats, yeah, that's pretty low. I see why you like Cincinnati, so I'll go with you on that one. The second game of the triple header on Fox Sports 1 stays in the Big 12. The Iowa State Cyclones. Is this one at Arrowhead? Yeah, they're not playing in Lawrence right now, are they?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so they're in Kansas City at Arrowhead to play the Kansas Jayhawks. Kansas needs a win to save their bowl hopes. Iowa State needs a win to bounce back and keep themselves in the hunt for Arlington. And ISU is favored by 3 in this one.
That game just sounds gross. Like hearing Iowa State at Kansas right now just sounds so gross to me. Like, I was never high on Iowa State really to begin with, much less like I wasn't high on BYU, but I don't even want to think about that. That's two bad offenses that are masked by the fact they had a weak schedule and think they're good. Like, I guess give me Iowa State because Kansas is frauds, but. Other than that, yeah. Oh, God. Just ruined my night that I have to think about that. That game's going to happen this weekend.
I would take Iowa State probably to cover. But yeah, I think Kansas is going to be playing a little desperate because, like you said, they're trying to get to that bowl eligibility mark.
You
Just
just
ruined
ruined
more
my mood.
one more loss and it's over for the Jayhawks. They will not be bowling this year. And you know what? After the loss to Texas Tech, I think Iowa State comes out angry and wanting to run up the score. And Kansas is just bad. So, I mean, it's not going to be difficult for them to do so. So, yeah, I take
Wait,
Iowa
I have a
State to cover.
question. Was Kansas ever good? Because you just say Kansas is bad. It's like, were they ever good?
No, I mean, not really.
I think people expected them to be good, especially because you had Jalen Daniels back. But I mean, let's be honest, Jason Bean was the quarterback of the team for the last 2 years. I mean,
I expected them to be decent, but no, not good.
because I think it's funny that the bottom four of the conference are were largely the predicted top four, were they not?
at the beginning of the season, if you had told me Kansas would have had the last bowl spot from our conference, I would have gone, yeah, I can see that. But no, but this bad, yes, I'm disappointed how bad they ended up being. Moving on, 3 o'clock, 30 minutes after that one kicks off, out in Lubbock, Texas Tech coming off a big win, and they're hosting Colorado, and can they keep it rolling? ESPN doesn't think so. Colorado has ESPN has the Buffaloes by 3.5.
I wish
Is
for
it
an
JD's making
asteroid to
that face
strike.
again?
Can I wish for an asteroid to strike? Yeah, I'm gonna go Colorado, and I'm gonna take Colorado to win by at least a touchdown. I think Colorado's just on a different level right now. And I've said my piece about Deion and that whole team and everything, but he kind of has those guys firing on all cylinders right now. That the defense was a big question mark and is playing out of their mind lately. That you're playing against a Texas Tech team that you don't know what you're going to get from their offense or their defense. That I kind of like Colorado winning by at least a touchdown here.
Yeah, I would take Colorado to cover. I mean, their skill position players, even if it's a tight game, whatever, their skill position players are going to make those plays. And I mean, yeah, there's no way I had at this point in the season, Colorado is in contention to get to Arlington and like has a legitimate shot. Like what Deion has done is it's impressive. At the start of the season, I thought by this point they'd have a lot of injuries and depth would have, become a huge factor for them. Especially on the defensive and offensive lines, but here we are.
Yeah, Colorado's kind of getting screwed though. Based like kind of on their schedule where it's going to be. Because it's going to come down if Colorado wins outright and Iowa State BYU win out. Kansas State and Iowa State played the last game of the season. That I believe Iowa State holds the tie. Oh, Colorado doesn't hold the tiebreaker over either one of them so far. So it will come down to the Texas Tech game. As far as I'm aware, because it'll come down to common opponent if Iowa State was to beat Kansas State. So, as of right now, Colorado does not control their own destiny. But if they were to beat Texas Tech, they would at least hold part of it.
Okay, well, you just solidified my pick. There's a lot of agreement on the panel here today. I was going to take Colorado anyway, but yeah, you just helped me double down.
Are you done reading the games? Because I want to break the agreement and I have a question.
No, I'm not, but
Okay,
okay, go ahead.
I'll wait. Let's go through the
We have
previews and then I'll ask my question.
two more games to do. But I will say this, JD, for your sake, you better hope Colorado wins this game. Otherwise, I'm gonna be rolling right back with my. I told you. I told you.
Depending what game you're about to talk about next, I don't care if Colorado wins or loses because I don't think BYU wins.
Well, you jumped the gun because the next game was UCF Arizona State. And
Sorry, I almost threw up.
we'll just go ahead and say Arizona State's favored by 3. Go ahead, go right ahead, JD. If you're that excited to get to BYU in Utah, go right
It's
ahead. Just no talk. Say who you're picking.
Arizona State, and it's by a touchdown.
At Arizona State. What'd you say the line was again?
Three.
Cover.
I agree 100%. We're all agreeing so far today. Okay, JD. BYU and Utah rivalry game kickoff at 9:15 Central Time. It is in Salt Lake City. BYU's favored by 3.5. Go ahead.
BYU is not good. There is no part of their game that has been good besides their defense, right? Their offense has been decent. Jake Raslip has been bailed out by a lucky play against Oklahoma State, where Oklahoma State forgot to tackle. They had four guys just kind of forget how to do it. You're going to watch the ugliest Holy War game that probably has happened in the last 12 years this weekend because Utah has such a good defense still. And I fully believe that under Isaac Wilson, their offense is going to take a little bit of a step up, enough that they're going to challenge BYU's defense. That I think it's more so that BYU is 2022 TCU to me, but not as lucky. And I think that their luck's going to run out this weekend. They're kind of due for it. This is the conference of chaos after all, so. What better way than to have your perfect season ruined than by your rival, as well as Baylor and TCU know about that. Oklahoma State know about that. Like that's the perfect way of ruining your perfect season. So I just think that if there's a week that it was going to happen, it is this weekend.
Fair points. Fair points. I still think I'm going to go BYU. Utah just, I think it'll be a close game, but man, Utah's been struggling just as bad as some of these other teams in the conference at the bottom. So I'm going to go BYU.
I'm going to do the same. I'm going to go BYU, and I say they cover. And just to make JD cringe a little bit more, I think they're going to lose it at home against Houston.
Honestly, that'd be hilarious. Like, Houston loses to everyone except beating a ranked Kansas State and TCU at home and beats BYU. I'm kind of about it. I like that.
All right.
Anyways, we're done with the previews. It's time for my question and to make Nolan cringe. Tori, who wins in a game on a neutral site, Oklahoma or Oklahoma State this season?
Oh
Oh.
gosh. That was actually brought up. We went for
The answer is
homecoming.
Oklahoma State.
I don't know about that one. We were in Stillwater this weekend for homecoming, and that actually got brought up, and nobody wanted to claim it.
Yeah. Have you heard of battered Aggie syndrome?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have the same thing in Oklahoma. Yeah, it's called sorry Sooner syndrome.
That's just what I call them every day.
I mean, I think Oklahoma would win just because y'all have a little bit more of a defense-ish. I don't know, but no, your defense is bad too, but it's not the second worst in the country.
I
Yeah.
mean that Oklahoma State defense versus Oklahoma's offense. Oh man, get the fireworks ready because who knows what happens there? Like you're gonna watch, it's gonna
That's how
be.
we should do it. We should do it spring game rules where it's only Oklahoma State's defense against our offense, and then they get like 5 points for stopping us. Or like, yeah, we need to do it spring game style.
What about what happens when the earth just stands still because it doesn't know what to do with two really bad places? Like, it is like genuinely, I wish Bedlam was played this year for that reason.
No,
Gundy
no.
was not going to let it happen.
No. Also, do want to talk about something before we end things because it sounds like we're getting close to it. The news today that SMU scheduled Notre Dame in 2026,
I did see that. That's big, and I think that's
which
big for them,
is.
and I think they're ready for it.
It's the TCU replacement game. That's why I want to talk about it.
Really?
Yes. Because they had an open week of non-conference now, and it will replace the TCU game because next year there's not a game scheduled after next season. So, does this just make TCU look even worse now that SMU was able to schedule Notre Dame for that
100%.
week?
100%, especially with how good SMU ended up becoming.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, TCU's non-con is not very good if you look down the road. Like
They get North
it's
Carolina,
yeah, it's like North Carolina, Duke,
Purdue.
Purdue, that, and that's from like
Yeah.
2016 or 17, a home
And
and
it's
home.
still not played till 2030.
Yeah. I mean, it's just if you look at what TCU has lined up for the
Alan Bowman will
non-con.
be in his 15th season.
He'll be quarterback at TCU. No, just kidding.
Stop. Don't you put that on us.
But yeah, if you look at what TCU's non-con is for the next 5, 10 years, this is not a good look. It's not.
Can it
Yeah, it's
get
bad.
any better? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, I don't know, like, what they could do to even rectify it right now. Like, I don't think that
Okay, I'm pulling this up.
it's going to cost too much to be able to buy out of games. You're not going to find other teams that are kind of as willing to schedule right now. Like, most teams are already scheduled out to 2034.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, not completely, but I mean, you have a point.
I that's it's also part of the why I think that scheduling non-conference games out that far out is such a bad idea because it's like you're scheduling a non-conference game against like TCU North Carolina was scheduled in 2015 or 18, one of the 2 years, and both teams were coming off a pretty good year. So it looks like, hey, that's a pretty good game when you announce it, and then when you realize it's in 2026 with both teams might be really bad, like who knows what happens then? Like it's why I've I'm so anti-scheduling
Oh
that far
yeah,
out.
this is horrible.
They replaced SMU with Arkansas State.
This is terrible. And then Sam Houston the year after that. Oh my gosh, this is terrible. Okay, so 2025, we're at North Carolina. We host Abilene Christian and host SMU. That's our non-conference.
Okay.
In 2026, we only have two scheduled. Home against North Carolina, home against Arkansas State.
So they're
And
still looking to fill the SMU slot there.
yes. 2027, home against Stanford, home against Sam Houston. 2028, the only one we have scheduled so far is at Duke. And then Duke will return the favor by coming to Fort Worth in 29, when we will play Texas State and Southeastern Louisiana. And then Purdue in 2030. That's the only one we got scheduled that year. Yeah, this is bad.
Don't get me wrong, the North Carolina and Duke games are super exciting. Like super
Well,
exciting when you think about it. Like,
who knows by then?
I mean, even if it's
Yeah.
not, like that's not a name that you see come to TCU for any or play TCU in anything really. Like it's still a fun name.
Yeah, but if I'm gonna be honest, because it's the Duke one, that one's away, right?
It's a
The
home and home.
first one's, yeah, it's a home and home.
It's a home and home.
2028 will be in Durham, and then 2029 will be in Fort Worth.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
By
I
the
mean,
way, prediction, 2028 at Duke, Haas Haney is going to be the quarterback for the Blue Devils.
interesting.
yeah, that math adds up. Sorry, I was checking my.
It'd be his last year unless he hurts himself or something.
Yeah,
Yeah,
because what's the new rules at 5 years?
well, I mean, but you can get medical redshirted and whatever. I mean, that's how Cam Rising and Alan Bowman are still
No,
playing.
they just did it. It's like what, or it's waiting to be passed. It's with the new, all the new scholarship rules. There's something that's supposed to be happening. It's either a 5 or 6 max limit.
Well, then either 28 or 29 would be his last year of eligibility. So yeah, it'd be that last year.
But I mean, I agree with you, JD, that's interesting names and it's different and it's not your typical teams. But if I'm going to be honest, I'd rather go to Durham for a Duke basketball game than a Duke football game. I'm just throwing that
JD
out
looks so nervous.
I'd rather go, if we're playing that card, I'd rather go to North Carolina for a baseball series over
That's
anything.
fair. That's fair. But
Just because, I
I
mean,
want
I
to go
think
to
that would be.
Cameron Indoor. I want to go to
Yeah.
Cameron Indoor.
Okay.
Can
I
we
do
just
want to
play
get.
Illinois so we get the Kibble Dome? I
That's
want
Syracuse.
that.
No, that's Idaho is the.
That's
Oh,
the
it's
University.
Idaho.
Yeah. No,
Idaho
and
is the Kibby Dome.
it's not the Kibble Dome, it's the
It's
Kibby
Kibby
Dome.
Dome. Yeah.
Come on, get it right.
They're all I names. They all blend in the Midwest. They're covered by
We're not.
corn
Hey,
anyways.
no, 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 no. We're not in the Midwest. We're Pacific Northwest.
I forget you are in
I'm
Idaho.
from Boise,
Yeah.
yes.
I wish we would
Gross.
schedule Boise. Why can't we do that?
I think it'd be
Why would
fun. I
Boise
mean,
schedule you?
oh,
I
it's
don't see why
Avalos.
they wouldn't. I mean, I guess maybe because of Avalos too. It's kind of a
Yeah.
thing. It's like why TCU doesn't schedule Texas, or was Texas A&M, but now Texas in baseball is because Schlossnagel's there. Like, it's kind of a unspoken thing to do, really.
By the way, I don't want to go into that. Oh my gosh.
We'll have you on the baseball pod sometime.
I did want to throw in two games just because they're the two biggest games in the country this week. Georgia at Ole Miss. Georgia's favored by 2.5.
I mean,
JD gets a disgusted look on his face anytime I bring up the SEC.
because why is it that they're a league of parody and the Big 12 is a league of chaos? Brother, you can't have it one and not the other. You got to pick. Just because Vanderbilt found a quarterback off the street and made him pass all his classes so he looked like he's smart and belongs there doesn't mean he actually does and Vanderbilt's good. It blows my mind. I don't get it. Why is Tennessee
Sir,
in
this
front?
is sir, we're talking about Georgia and Ole Miss here, not Vanderbilt.
Carson Beck is awful. I'm sorry, Mac, if you're listening to this.
Apparently, though, there's a stat when he has multiple turnovers, they actually score 3 more points per game than when he doesn't have multiple turnovers. So maybe it's good that Carson Beck is bad.
Yeah, he has three interception games on the year, which is an absurd stat. Because I'm not gonna get on my soapbox. I digress. I wasn't even gonna talk about him. I was gonna talk about because of the Josh Hoover commentary, but I digress. Anyways, give me Georgia.
Georgia.
Lane Kiffin can't compete with the big dog still. Like, congrats, you beat up on a Sam Pittman Arkansas team. Wow, I'm so impressed, Lane Kiffin. Congrats. Like, that doesn't wow me.
I agree. I take the Bulldogs to cover. And then the last one is Alabama going to Death Valley to take on the Tigers of LSU. Alabama is favored by 3, and I actually find that surprising.
Yeah, you would think it'd be more of a pick 'em, maybe favor LSU kind of thing. And if I'm not mistaken, this is kind of a pseudo elimination game for the playoffs, and the SEC championship, obviously. It's tough to pick against Alabama, but it's also not the same Alabama that we're used to. And I think as good as Kalen DeBoer is and all the history he has and his winning history and all that, he's kind of got to show that he can kind of, sounds weird for Alabama, but right the ship. So I'm going to go with LSU.
Before I give my answer, I do, and I'm gonna ask another question, and I apologize, but it's a short one. Has this game kind of lost like its luster the last 2 years? Like, it just, I used to be so excited for Alabama LSU week, and now, like, the last 2 years, and especially this year, I'm just kind of like, eh. Like, I mean, I'm sure I'll watch it, but like, I'm not like, oh God, I have to watch that game.
But much to what Tori just said, this kind of being an elimination game for both the SEC championship and probably the playoff. At night, Death Valley, Alabama, LSU. I mean, is it going to be the same quality that we're used to? No, but I think this will be a good game to get the national attention back on both these programs. And Tori, I'm actually with you. It is November after dark, 6:30. In Death Valley, Alabama's not winning this game.
Taking Alabama though, like,
See, he baited me into making my pick first just so he could go
yeah, I
against
did.
me.
Anyways, no, I really think it's just, I think Jalen Milroe and Kalen DeBoer were able to learn a lot about their trip after their trip to Knoxville, and I think that you're not gonna see them as a team rattled so much in the environment. And I know it's Death Valley, but like, there's so many people that are in this Alabama program that know what Death Valley is actually like. There's players on this team that know what playing at Death Valley is like, that it's a little bit of a different situation. You're going to be able to know what to expect a little bit more. I will say, and I want to give a shout out to Caden Durham because he's been phenomenal for LSU this year. The Duncanville prospect from last year, he's been phenomenal at that. But I still
It's
think.
insane.
I think LSU's defense is a lot worse than what Tennessee's is, so that's why I give the upper hand to Alabama in this one.
All right. Well, Tori, you're back on the show for the first time since preseason. JD, you have 90 seconds, good sir. What will we be talking about today?
I told you, it's Texas Tech.
Oh, that's right. All right, 90 seconds on the clock for JD to rant, and your time starts now.
Look, I know I'm a hater. I'm a class one, the biggest hater of Texas Tech, probably out there. You put Texas Tech, Baylor, SMU in a room, and I don't know who I'm going to pick to hate more. But here's what I want to say about Texas Tech. Why is it that the one time that I start to believe in them for even the slightest second, I'm like, you know what? Maybe Joey McGuire's not a bad coach. And maybe Texas Tech actually did something right and made a good decision. No. Joke's on me because I believed in Texas Tech, but then you're out on them, right? And that's where they get you. It's like being at a casino, except not as fun, because who likes having tortillas thrown at you and batteries? Anyways, it's the moment you're out on them is when they reel you back in. They throw it. They get a win against a ranked Iowa State team in the rain, a gritty win. Joey McGuire, you're my guy. And then this week, they're going to lay an absolute egg against Colorado, and teams aren't going to be, they're going to be like, what happened? They looked so good last week. Welcome to the Texas Tech experience, where nothing you want to go your way will ever go your way. Congrats. You got a new contract. You got cute jerseys because of Patrick Mahomes, but that's all you have. That's your claim to fame. You've never been ranked. You've never had a 10-win season. I'm sorry. What do you offer? A mediocre baseball program too? That's why I'm gonna end it because that'll make a lot of people mad.
Oh, save that part for the actual baseball podcast.
Oh, I but don't worry, we'll have Brett on that one again. It's fun. Brett and I really get into it when it comes to tech.
Well, Tori, thanks for joining us for this episode. It was good to have you. Hopefully, we can have you again soon.
Yeah, and thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, of course. And Frog fans, that does it for us for the 21st episode of the Gridiron Frogs podcast as a part of the TCU Horned Frogs on SI. Thank you for tuning in, listening, watching, or however you find your podcast. We'll see you next week recapping TCU and Oklahoma State with another great show. And until then, for Tori Couch, JD Andrus, and everyone at Killer Frogs, I'm Nolan Ruth signing off. So long, everybody.
And one last message before we go. Make sure you check our Apple and Spotify for all of the other podcasts, including Tori and I on the women's basketball, Nick and Davis on the baseball. And if you want to, or basketball, men's basketball, if you want a little bit of baseball, Carson and I are also on that one. So check us out under Killer Frogs on Spotify and Apple Music. Thanks, guys.